We have a big weekend of ACC basketball in the Triangle. We will get to that in a second, but we bring in my friend David Teal from the Richmond Times-Dispatch, at by David Teal on Twitter. Sir, yesterday came the announcement that Mike Bray was going to step down after this season, after what, 23 years at Notre Dame, all-time winningest coach in their program's history, one that featured Digger Phelps. And I'm just curious, can we make him an automatic ACC legend? I mean, like, immediate ACC legend.
If the media has anything to do with it, you bet he will. I mean, has there ever been a more media-friendly coach
No.
than Mike Bray? I mean, he's the best. He gets it. He's patient with us. He tolerates us. He engages. He's self-deprecating. He's funny as heck.
Yeah.
He's what you want out of a coach.
He's also a good coach. And when Notre Dame got to the league, like, it was probably, no, they had good years in the Big East before, and I believe they had, no, actually, they hadn't won a Big East tournament. But no. Basically, in year two, in one of the better years of the ACC, where Virginia is one of the best teams and they win the league outright, Duke ends up winning the national championship, Notre Dame won that ACC title and nearly knocked off Kentucky in the regional final that year. I think they lost by two. But that run of Notre Dame was probably the best run that he'd had.
Well, not only did he win an ACC tournament in year two, Adam, he did it in Greensboro, yeah. And he did it against Duke and Carolina.
Right.
You don't think that meant the world to a Maryland kid who went to DePatha and then spent seven seasons coaching under Mike Krzyzewski at Duke. I got another thing coming for you. At his presser today, he was asked about the highlights, and the first thing he mentioned was that tournament championship in Greensboro in 2015.
And that was just such a great, team to watch. I remember Pat Connaughton making every big shot that there could ever be made, and I really thought that Connaughton was going to go on and pitch for the Orioles. And Pat Connaughton is still playing in the NBA. As it turns out, they had some NBA talent on that team.
Yeah, Jeremy Grant, too.
Yep.
It was a really, really good squad. And went to the Elite Eight again the following season.
Yeah, that was probably a little bit more of a surprise run. But they were such a good basketball team, and his offenses were always difficult to play against. And they gave Duke trouble, especially at Cameron.
They did. And, Adam, if there's one thing that, well, there are many things, but one thing that you have to give Mike Bray credit for, it's for this keen sense of self-awareness.
Right.
He knew it was time. And he said today, he didn't hide behind us. He said, guys, from 2000 to 2017, we made 12 NCAA tournaments. Since then, we've been to one. That's not good enough. That's how you're measured. It's time for a new voice.
Yeah, I know you and I were texting earlier today, and I kid you not, this is exactly how I thought when I heard that Mike Bray was stepping down, because obviously this has been a terrible year, and I saw the beginning of their game where they were down, 29-8 at home to Florida State, who's not very good, and right. I thought, well, it's obvious that this is going to come to an end. I just hope that Mike has the sense to do it on his own. And all I could think of was somebody who I have as much respect for as I do Mike Bray, and that's David Cutcliffe, who could not unhinge himself from Duke football to realize that it needed new leadership. They were never going to fire him, although ultimately they had no choice. And I think Mike Bray probably realized that he had to make this decision, because they probably wouldn't have fired him either at Notre Dame.
No, I don't believe they would have. But you know, he did it. He did it for them, and you know, he's not ruling out a return to coaching. It doesn't sound like he wants to coach again next season. But you know, there will be myriad opportunities for Mike Bray in so many different avenues, including television.
Oh, put him on TV tomorrow. I mean, put him in the studio. He's so personable. All right, let me ask you a couple of we have some big games here. We only have a couple more minutes with Dave. Yeah. It's a very good weekend of basketball in the Triangle, which is not an uncommon thing to say. But interestingly enough, NC State at North Carolina, which is always a big game. This is not only a big game, but it is a huge game for both sides. I can argue that it's more important for North Carolina than it is for State. How do you see this?
Well, with North Carolina only having one quad one win, and I think NC State right now has a better NCAA tournament resume than does Carolina. Yeah, it is more important for the Tar Heels.
I mean, I don't have, well, I have faith in North Carolina long-term this season because I think they'll eventually get it. But they don't have, they have not necessarily impressed with an overall team game. Their one win that I think they're pointing toward, the Ohio State win, was sort of a gift, right? I mean, Ohio State was the better team in that game. They just fell apart at the end, and I give North Carolina full credit for walking through the door when it was left open. But that was really gifted to them by Ohio State. And I think for the first time in a long time, I think we're going to see State that has serious matchup advantages on the perimeter.
Well, I mean, State's playing, you mentioned NC State's perimeter. Aquavion Smith, he'll shoot it from anywhere. Casey Morsell.
Yeah.
Me, I asked Kevin Keats about this the other day on the ACC Zoom. Like, where did this come from? He's never shot it remotely this well. And Keats just laughed. He said, it's all me. He said he was tired of losing to me in shooting contests. I think Morsell has been terrific. And then inside, I mean, DJ Burns is like one of my favorite players. He's everybody's favorite player, right?
There's no question. He's not just a scorer. He had seven assists the other night. Right. They can run the offense through him, and if he can stay on the court, that's the key. Can he stay on the court against Baycott?
Yep.
All right.
You know who he reminds me of? Adam, I mentioned this to somebody the other day. Kind of a obscure reference, but Zach Randolph. Do you remember him at Michigan State?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's who DJ Burns reminds me of.
Well, if he has a career like Zach Randolph, we should all ask DJ Burns for a loan now. Final thing, Miami is at Duke. According to the KenPom numbers, if this is any indication, Duke is going to be a favorite at home over Miami. Why does that sound like free money to me?
Maybe because Miami's better.
I think they're better by a lot.
I don't know by a lot. You tell me, is Jeremy Roach going to play?
My understanding is it is highly doubtful that he plays.
Okay.
And if he plays, he's not 100%.
Yeah. Adam, here's a number for you. Right now, Duke as a team is shooting 43.1%.
Yeah.
If that pace continues, it would be the program's worst shooting team since 1960.
That's not good, is my assessment of that number. Aren't they also under 40% in each of their last four games?
That might be right.
Yeah, that's also ungood. They have a hard time getting good shots. They're not hitting from three, but if you're not making twos, which is also a problem for them. And by the way, over the last several weeks, their defense has sort of slipped back a little bit. It has not been good. I mean, I hope they get it together. They need Jeremy Roach. I mean, it's just so simple. Tyrese Proctor is not ready to run a team at this level yet. They need Jeremy Roach.
Yeah.
David Teal, you're the man. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much. By the way, did Mike Bray cry?
He did not.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they had the presser, Adam. It was classic Bray. Had the presser in the football stadium. And first thing he says when he sits down is, I had to step aside to have an event in the football press conference room.
Unbelievable. Well, he probably cried yesterday anyway.